Hey, yo, we about to tear it up.
Yo. Break for break, break for break it down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. the failed Homo sapien.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. the actual factual.
Okay, so this is slightly a detour from our regular scheduled program. This is an episode with me and Chris, and just me and Chris. First time we've done this for a while, and I know Chris has been bugging me to do this. I'm like, yo, I don't want to talk to you. I talk to you too much, and blah, blah, blah. I make all these excuses up. But we were supposed to have an interview that hasn't happened, so we decided to do this off the fly. So
it's on the fly.
If you get mad at us because we miss this person out or fax this or you come at the actual factual, please understand all of this is off the dome. This is KRS-One. If KRS-One was to do a podcast, this is what it would sound like.
I like that.
Okay?
I
always use KRS-One and Jadakiss as my reference points, but we are doing this. Okay, so we were talking off air, me and Chris. Hello, Chris, how are you doing?
Greetings. I just wanted to say, right, I've only realized just how dark my lighting is in my spare room. I need to buy a bulb for my lamp.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know what, before we venture into this episode that we don't know what we're talking about, so we're just going to go there. I'm going to buy you a ring light, and then I'm going to send you a box package. Like, I have to box this up with all the stuff that I need to give you, like the mugs, you know, wedding present. Like, I still have this at my crib because I'm going to, when I see him, I'll give this to him.
Allow it, man. So I was going to say, I need a Reasonable Doubt t-shirt, man.
I need to give you.
Imagine I don't even have my own merch, bruv. Imagine, bro. That's disgusting behavior. That's disgusting. That's wild.
I have it at home, packed, and it says for Chris.
Nah, man, you sold it.
I did.
Listen, you went to the market and that.
We'll talk about that too.
Okay.
But no, I need to send you a big box, like a care package of everything, because there's stuff I still have that I need to give you that, because I haven't seen you in almost 2 years.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I'm actually going to pull up, saying early next year, but COVID, innit?
Yeah, forget it. Well, yeah, I'll venture into the parts unknown.
Please do.
We were talking off air, and the new Stally and Apollo Brown project is out.
Yes, it is.
And Chris said to me, at what point do we have the conversation that Apollo Brown is, you know, in the conversation as one of the greats of all time? And I said, absolutely. Why shouldn't it be a conversation? Because if you think about his range, his projects, the people he's worked with, it's been, what, 10, 12 years he's been in the game? Maybe longer?
So
maybe
Apollo's longer. Been producing for longer than that.
Yes.
He came on my radar when he signed to Mello and put out the Reset album, which I think was early 2010, late 2009.
Right, okay.
So that's when he came on my radar. But I know he had some instrumental projects before that. So he had Skill Trade and Make Do.
Yes, he did, he did.
And he was also part of the Wise Men with Bronze Nazareth.
Wow.
They were in a group together, yes. So he's been around for a minute.
Can you imagine that we've spoken to both Apollo Brown and you spoke to Bronze Nazareth? That's a different story. I mean, my screen cracked as he came.
That was hilarious.
As Bronze Nazareth comes up. So I wasn't at home at that time. I wasn't at the crib. So I'm set on a bed and I moved and the side of my Shure mic hit the screen and it just cracked and I couldn't see anything. So I could hear you, but I couldn't see anything. So I couldn't...
That's some Jeremy Beadle thing, bro.
Anyway, so Apollo Brown. So Apollo Brown has been around for a long time. He's definitely been producing for a long time. But I just love the fact that, you know, if you look at even like Daily Bread, right through to Clouds, right through to Anchovies, you know, his range is incredible. And I love what I love about Apollo Brown is, and this is what we got from him when we spoke to him, which is he's very particular about who he works with.
Very.
I think that's a testament because he understands how good he is.
Yep. Apollo, bro, I'm not a producer. Mm-hmm. And I've had this discussion with so many of my producer friends. Like, I've had borderline heated debates. T1, K-Night, they talk from a producer's perspective, from the skill level. They're like, you know, they prefer the people who are, I would say, more virtuoso with the production. So, you know, your Raphael Sadiqs. Your alchemists.
Yeah.
with me, I go with feeling. It's about how the music makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listen to Apollo Brown, he has soundtracked for me the range of human emotions that I feel. Right. So with this new Stally album, when I listen to Humble Winds, Humble Winds is my song of the year. Not so much because it's like the best song ever made, but it just sums up the year that we have had. Like, I feel like a superhero when I listen to that song.
Right, right, right.
And he has a way of just picking the... He's got such a great ear for samples, man.
He does.
Like, and I like the fact that I can imagine, it's almost like a mechanic. You've got your toolbox.
Right.
And you've got all your different range of tools, and you know which tool is needed for which type of job. You know, some people or some producers, they have all the equipment. They got MPC over here, they got SP1200 over here, but then you got someone like a Madlib who just have an iPad.
Yeah.
And make something incredible. Like Apollo Brown reminds me of that type of producer. He knows his tools.
He does. And he knows them very well. And it's not the tools that you have, it's how to use them.
How to use them, bro.
Ninth Wonder used to get brandished with the whole, oh, you know, you use Fruity Loops. And it's like, dude, it's not about what you use, is how you use it.
right.
And he made Grammy Award winning stuff, right?
Bro, I said to K-Night, I said, we were talking about the Ninth Wonder drum.
Yes.
Ooh, you know, the snare that sounds like a kick, right?
Yeah.
And I said to him, if I could, I would inject that drum into my veins.
You see, his drum, that snare that sounds like a drum is like, it's like something. So there's Apollo Brown's in this conversation too about how their sound is reminiscent of them, like Primo, like Ninth.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a signature that you know belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world where there are a plethora, like literally millions of producers out there from across the world, to stand out, to know that is an Apollo. You know how Spike Lee would have a Spike Lee joint?
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that Apollo Brown would have either an Apollo Brown joint, a Ninth Wonder joint, you just know it's an Apollo Brown. Like Chez Noir and Apollo Brown as God Intended was one of my best albums of the year last year, period.
I was listening to Daddy's Girl, because I know that's your favorite song from the project.
Man,
and bro, there's something so addictive about that project, and I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
I just can't, bro. Like,
and remember what he told us about the Ghostface joint, the 12 Reasons to Die,
mm-hmm.
how he was able to do that in the time frame,
mm-hmm.
with not getting all the like how he did that. But you could just run his list, man. You could run from Grandeur to Sincerely Detroit to Blasphemy to.
Mm-hmm.
I said Anchovies Overnight. As God Intended. The
Brown
Sky,
Study.
Yeah, he done. What's the Sky Zoo joint? The
Easy Truth.
Right, there's so much he's done. Like
Hassan Mackey.
Dice Game.
Bro, like, I was thinking about it today, and this might sound blasphemous, pun intended to say, but Apollo Brown's production or his album making is very similar to a Bret Hart match.
Okay. Go
and let me tell you why. Bret Hart was never flashy.
Right.
You know, Shawn Michaels was the showman. Shawn Michaels was the one who did the backflips,
right.
The super kicks. Bret Hart was leg drop and elbow.
Technical.
He was all about the storytelling. When you go through the list of people that Bret Hart wrestled, all of them will say their best match was with Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Diesel, Razor Ramon,
yeah.
Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, if he was here.
Right.
All of them.
See, I mean,
would
you,
say that.
You got to think about, I was talking about Range, Raheem Devon.
Bro, he did an R&B album, bro.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I think the Bret Hart analogy is a really good one because, one, I get it because I watched wrestling at that time. But technically speaking, what Apollo does with his production to mirror and complement the artist is what makes the tracks.
Exactly.
It's Dice Game is great because it's Guilty and Apollo.
Right. And when you look at all the artists he works with,
yeah.
The project he did with them is either their best project or it's up there.
Right. Like so
Joel, that's the Bret Hart analogy.
Like Joel Ortiz is a good example.
Come on now. Mona Lisa.
I feel like that and forgive me, I haven't heard Joel's new project.
It's amazing, bro.
But listen, I've known and loved Joel Ortiz for a very long time, you know.
It's funny you mention that. I always think of you.
Why?
When I listen to Joel Ortiz, just because there's certain artists, if I'm introduced to a certain artist by someone, or I know that person is a big fan. Like, you know, for example, I listen to Busta Rhymes, I always hear Skillet.
Right, right.
Or like Rock Marcy's K-Night, like, US Joel Ortiz and Jay-Z. That's
it. Yeah, well, the only reason I say Joel is because I was fortunate enough to basically stage manage his first shows in the UK, right? So me and Tony, shout out to Tony. Tony's he's the plug there, but you know, I did some work with Tony, a lot of his shows. So if it was Premiere, Loki, Joel Ortiz. So I, funnily enough, was able to stage manage those shows and spent a lot of time with Joel. And crack jokes. We had loads of fun, and I've still got fond memories of that. I've got a lot of raw footage and pictures of that time that I need to give to him, right? So, you know, I spent time with him, and at the time his manager was Mike Heron, who's, you know, legendary, and I worked with Big Pun. Mike is Mike, man. Like, you can't tell Mike shit. He is who he is, and he's incredible what he does. But I recently gave him a lot of stuff. I said, hey, man, look, I've got this stuff on my hard drive because I've recently discovered a hard drive with all this stuff. I said, take it, all of it, the videos, the photos. This is for you. And I made a toast to Joel Ortiz at a club after the London show, and I completely forgot I did that. And I wasn't even drunk.
Yeah, sounds like something I can imagine when you're like in your 40s and your 50s at the family parties.
Yeah, that was on a toast. It was me.
You'd be the MC
and it was me, and it was my guy Raj, Love Soul, who has his own podcast, Raj Kasetra Show. He encouraged me to do a speech. I did one. And then I think after that, I took Joel and Shizio, my guy, and Tony was with us. And we went to a show where Tiger was performing, you know, Tiger.
Okay.
You know, and I introduced Tiger and Joel together.
That would be a collab. That would be fire.
Yeah, anyway, I've digressed because I like to show what I did back, and like I've become one of those guys. And you know,
no, you've got to. You've got to.
Anyway, but the point is, Joel Ortiz, I have a lot of affinity to. I love him to bits as a person, but also as an incredible MC, because I just think with Joel, and I think Mona Lisa for me is Joel's best work.
Okay.
Full body of work. I haven't heard the new album, but
With Apollo.
It's his best work, period, from top to bottom. Joel Ortiz makes great music, but from a solo perspective, I think that's his Bodega. Was it Bodega? To be fair, Bodega was
the brick.
But I prefer Mona Lisa. If I'm
my favorite Joel, and Apollo Brown executive produced it. It was a Monday.
Oh, you know what? I don't think I've heard that all.
Bro, go and listen to Monday. There's a song on there. Apollo does Sip Slow, which is crazy, and same time where Joel tells the story about being behind bars. I don't know if he's talking from a personal perspective or it's just a made-up story, but the detail, and again, Apollo Brown.
Yes, he's different. He's different.
He's different, bro.
It's important we're having this conversation, even though I've veered off a couple of times, but it's important to have this conversation about Apollo, because this podcast is about giving flowers to those who we feel should get him, whether they're here or not. They should get them.
Yeah.
And I think Apollo Brown is one of those people. Like, I mean, the conversation we had with him, was it last year?
It was last year.
Late last year.
Yeah. About September, October, I think.
To have that conversation with him, again, doesn't come out very much for podcasts, but for him to come out and then go, hey, we should do this again. I really, you could get a feeling from him that when it comes to this music thing, he really knows what he's doing. He understands. And I think it feels like the reason why he picks the artists that he does to work with, he understands them. So he therefore knows how to put the best body of work out. So for me, it feels like he's not only a producer or executive producer, but he's A&R in the project too. Like, he's really shaping or sequencing the project. That is a different type of mind to have, because he's doing like 3 or 4 jobs as one person.
Absolutely.
And I think that's absolutely important.
I was thinking today, what's my favorite Apollo Brown project? And I get stuck.
Okay.
Because I have an affinity. You know how I feel about OC.
Yes.
I'll never forget when they announced that album. It was like, okay, your favorite rapper, your favorite producer of that moment, who's become one of your all-time favorites since. It's like, it was almost like, you remember the Capcom versus Marvel games?
Yeah.
It was like Survivor Series, those once in a lifetime matchups that you may never get again.
Yeah.
So my favorite Apollo Brown, I've got three. I'm going to go with Trophies.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Dice Game. And I'm going to go with Sincerely Detroit.
So I'm not of a different opinion. Obviously Trophies is high up there. Mine is going to be Sincerely Detroit. simply because of the legwork that's required to get all those people.
Bro, 56 different artists.
Right. That, you know, Khaled does it. And it's like, yo, we made a movie.
Mm.
Apollo Brown made an absolute movie with Sincerely
Amazing,
Destroy.
Bro.
And to weave all of those artists into one project and it to be solid, no skips, mm-hmm. like so hot, like everything from top to bottom, just like solid. And it's
what
very-
I loved about it as well is that he had the more well-known artists and he paired them up with the lesser-known artists as right. well. So it was almost like this, you know, bringing the city together
right.
in a way. So I'm not from Detroit.
No.
But that album made me feel like, okay, this is the sound and the feel of Detroit.
What you know, when you think about Backbone, 365, any other songs?
Jackson's, bro.
Jackson's. What you think about Sincerely Detroit, which makes it so incredible, we know it's outside of hip-hop, right? It's the Motor City. It's gritty. It's grimy. It's, you know, it's hard. You know, you always think mm-hmm. about New York and Tim's, right? You know, Tim's and Carhartt and all that, right? Detroit has that same kind of thing, right? And the album, Sincerely Detroit, really brings that ruggedness through. Again, testament to Apollo Brown. Man, we should get Apollo Brown again. Mm-hmm. Damn, I'm like...
Yeah, we should get him back. You know, it gasses me because we're born on the same day, innit? My June 20th, brother. I've got to say that again.
Yeah, no question. That's right.
I was just thinking now, man, the Locksmith Project, it was short and sweet, but it was amazing. Anchovies, bruv. Bro, Planet Asia said, I took an Uber to Laguna just to meet with the Uma. Are you mad? Like, are you mad?
Yeah.
Why do you do these things, bruv? You know when I did my first show in France, me and Jameson, I was listening to Planet Asia, Right or Wrong, on repeat on the train heading to Paris.
Wow. So I've been thinking about it a lot and I'm going to get him on, but I'm going to have to go through a connect for that because he's not responded to my emails, but
That's
we're going to get him on because...
You are the plug.
If you talk about Planet Asia's range on that album... How we like different flow, everything is.
I wrote that on Twitter this week because shout out to Dylan Green.
Dylan Green,
he posted something. You know, he likes anchovies, like the album.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, man, this album's crazy. And then shout out to Black Keys. He jumped in. He said, yeah, people were critical about anchovies because it didn't have drums. And I said, well, look, if you want drums from Apollo Brown, his entire catalog minus anchovies is pretty much drums. Go and listen to that. But the reason why I think the album works is one is because Planet Asia has a variety of flows.
Yes.
And he also has an incredible vocabulary. Like Planet Asia says words.
Talk to me about Dalai. Was it, how do you pronounce his name?
Dalai Lama Slang with Willy the Kid. Are you nuts? Are you nuts?
Are we going to talk about avant-garde? Are we going to talk about avant-garde, bro? Are we going to talk about avant-garde?
Bro, listen. You see Apollo Brown, we have to go back to Apollo Brown. I'm going to say this publicly.
Okay.
I live my life to his music. I've been listening to Apollo Brown for the last 10 to 12 years, but particularly this week, I've been listening to him every single day.
Wow.
Apollo Brown is firmly in my top 15 producers of all time. I know my top 10.
So let's break it down. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go from 1 to 15 for you.
Wow.
Let's
okay.
do this. So I'll just throw names. Not no particular order, but let's just throw names.
Okay.
So Primo's
let's
definitely there. Right? So we've got...
Same for me.
Got Primo definitely in there. We've got RZA definitely in there.
Same for me.
We've got...
Pete Rock,
of course. We're going to put Eric Sermon in there.
Yes.
Eric Sermon. Alchemist.
Yes.
We're putting... Let's think about this.
I put all the DITC producers in one because I like to cheat because I can't give four slots.
Okay,
so I'm gonna give all of them man one slot. So Buckwild, Lord Finesse.
So that's six.
Showbiz,
that's six.
And Diamond D. But if I had to pick one, I'm putting Buckwild in.
Okay, all right.
Because of the range.
Yeah. But Buckwild, you know, he was renowned for... He was the producer, right? He was the... I mean, obviously, yeah. Showbiz... I love Showbiz's production. Finesse, I mean, we can't forget Finesse. Finesse is like...
We can't. But, bro, it's like, this is Sugar Puffs Rice Krispies, man. It depends on what you feel like on a certain day.
So, we got six there, right? So, DITC number six. Yep. Madlib.
Yes.
Ono goes... Does Ono go into that? Or is it just Madlib at the moment?
Ono, for me... is in the top 25, okay, 30.
Fine.
And I know that sounds crazy, okay, but when you consider how many producers there are out there, to be top 30 in anything is dope.
Makes sense. All right, so are we putting Marley Marl in there? Are we going old school? For you?
Yeah, we've got to. Okay. We got to.
Okay. Havoc?
Hmm.
Does Havoc go in your top? This is where we're at number 8, well, number 9 right now.
Havoc don't go in my top 10.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Top 20 somewhere.
You're going to get... Someone's going to come for you for that, isn't it? For some reason, right?
Everyone needs to relax.
Are we putting in... I'm just thinking. Are we putting in No ID?
Top 30, definitely.
Q-Tip?
Yes.
9?
Yes.
Dilla?
Dilla's there. Dilla's like number 5 for me.
Yeah. But this is in no particular order. No, I want to clarify. This is in no particular order.
Large Professor.
Of course. I mean, that's your namesake, right?
Right. And also, DJ Quick.
Quick. That's 12. Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Battle Cat.
Dr. Dre. Battle Cat. Let's talk. All right. I'm just going to reel off names.
13. We're at 13 now. We're at 13 now. So.
All right. I'm just going to go. Who else we got?
DJ Draper.
No, not him. High Tech.
So you're on 14 now.
I'm on 14.
You're on 14.
No. Apollo Brown is like 14... 15, maybe 13.
Okay, so where does Kanye, Just Blaze...
See, we haven't even gone... Oh my days, bruv. Haven't even mentioned Knots.
We haven't mentioned Knots, Crisis.
And Ninth Wonder,
and that's... What are we doing? We're on 14.
Now, you know what, yeah? We're not doing a good job of this. We have to do this. Let's do this at the end of the year.
Okay.
Bro, imagine we didn't even say Just Blaze.
Right.
Huh?
Come on. I mean, look, to be fair, I think I pushed on Marley Marl on you while for your, it's not the 15 greatest producers of all time, but I think you could probably swap out Marley Marl for you because maybe just because of our age, but also impact of other producers like Ninth Wonder on your upbringing in hip hop.
Yeah. But I think with Marley Marl, a lot of the guys who I love wouldn't be who they are without him.
100%. No, 100%. He was absolutely one of the innovators, just like Kumo D, just like, Grandmaster Caz. All of those people are very much,
100%. Bro, Easy Mo B.
Come on. Talk to me. Does Puffy get into your top 20? Nope. Or
nope.
Why?
Nah.
Why? Because he had people producing for him?
No, I think Puffy as an executive producer.
Yeah.
Listen, I could never... Oh, I'm going with my old school slang. I can't brush him. I can't brush Puffy, right? Because Ready to Die is one of my favorite albums.
Yeah.
And it was my favorite rap album for a long time.
Right.
He was very integral in that.
Yeah.
He's been very integral with Mary J. Blige and Jodeci and, rest in peace, Black Rob. Like
Craig Mack, you know?
Puffy's important.
Yeah.
Whether you like him or not, he's important.
Can I ask you a question? Where does DJ Muggs lie in your...
See? This is what I'm saying. I need time. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do some homework, right? I'm going to be heading off to Jamaica.
Yes.
I'm going to put together a list.
Right.
Of my top 50 hip-hop producers.
Wow.
For the end of the year show.
Okay.
We don't have to break down each of them. I'm just going to read it and I'm going to put it in order.
Okay.
Interesting. And I'll tell you what I'll do. My top 25, and then I'll do 25 underrated producers because in my mind, I have to compartmentalize.
I think you might have to do it that way because the reason why I say that is because when it comes to top 15, top 20 producers, MCs, etc., most of the time, they're the same ones you'll see on the internet.
Yes.
Because there's this thing of, well, we have to say that, we can't say that. So when we're talking about MCs, for example, people who are younger generation won't put Rakim, but I will put Rakim in my top 10 because I understand his influence and what he was able to do. Right?
For sure.
But I think underrated or putting themes to it, best West Coast producers, Quick, we've talked about Quick a lot on this podcast. We've talked about Battle Cat a lot on this podcast.
Man, like Superfly.
Superfly, for example. I'm so glad that he's produced on the new Snoop Dogg album too, which is important.
We've got to talk about that offline.
Okay, I haven't heard it.
That album is serious.
You've got to understand, I don't know how I'm going to do any of those end of year lists that we usually...
I'm not doing it because
I'm not listening to much.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't want it. It's too much.
I've been busy. We can let the other podcasts do that. They can.
Yeah, I can't do it, bro. I can't do it.
No, we'll just revel in our success of the year.
But I will say this, man. Apollo Brown is firmly high on my list.
He'll definitely be in your top 20, 100%. Like, yeah, I think so. Wherever he lives, he'll definitely be in your top 20 simply because it's very... Just imagine he's in your top 20. That's a very scarce list. Mm-hmm. He's up alongside the likes of Muggs. He's up alongside
and
the
Ninth
likes
Wonder.
Of
you know
Ninth
how I Wonder. Feel about Ninth.
I mean, come on. I know. So
yeah, Apollo Brown, man. Like I think I'll say this to close. An Apollo Brown album does three things. It can either put you on the map.
Mm-hmm.
One, it can put you back in the conversation, or it can put you in the history books.
Yeah.
Three things. You know, Book Brown, you know, she wasn't necessarily the biggest name. I feel like he put her in the conversation of best female MCs. When OC came out with Trophies, you know, OC's discography is nothing to play with. But I consider Trophies to be in his top three albums. It's Trophies, Word Life, and Jewels. And he released Trophies, what, 15, 20 years after his debut? Are you nuts?
I mean, you know how I feel about OC.
I really want them to do another one.
I'm sure they will. OC, shout out to OC.
Yeah.
Shout out to OC, man.
We didn't even mention Ugly Heroes.
Oh. We didn't.
And then you got the Apollo Brown remixes. All right. You lot play around, yeah, innit? You lot play around, innit? It's my dream, though. Before I bow out the game, I want to do an Apollo Brown tune. I want to rhyme over an Apollo Brown
beat. I'll get you one.
Yeah, I want one.
I'll just download it from the internet, bro.
I want one. No, we're not doing that. He don't even release like the album instrumentals too often either.
No, he doesn't need to because the thing about I love about Alpara, maybe I was trying to say this earlier, but didn't really say it eloquently enough. He values his craft too much to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And that's someone with experience. That's someone who understands. That's someone, you know, just think about what Detroit has done for hip hop, right? For the whole culture. And he's in that conversation. That is not an easy thing to do at all.
Bro, it's been 12 years of bangers. Like Apollo Brown, I would say, has produced, and this is an estimate, maybe 4 or 5 classic albums.
Yeah.
You know, The Left is a classic album. Gas Mask is a classic. Yeah. Trophies.
As God Intended is a good. It's gonna watch.
I think as God Intended in the next few years will be in that discussion. Correct. Like, yo, let's revisit this.
Correct. And I think you've put it. I'm not going to repeat it because you've said it eloquently earlier, which is people will really take you seriously once you've done an Apollo Brown album because he just knows. And I think he's a credit to the culture. And long may he create work with some of our favorites, man. Because
I got one question to ask you before we roll out.
Go on.
Your dream album produced by Apollo Brown, who would it be?
Jay-Z. No, I'm joking. I'm fucking with you. You know who I'd really... Do you know, no, genuinely, do you know, now that you've said it, I said Hove is being facetious. Royce the 5'9".
Yeah.
I want to hear Royce the 5'9" at his... You know, no. Take it back. I want two people. Give me two.
Okay, take two.
Black Thought and Royce the 5'9".
Yeah, you're moving mad. A Black Thought, Apollo Brown album, are you?
No. A Black Thought, Royce the 5'9", and Apollo Brown all on the same.
Oh, so you want to end the world?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm Thanos. I've never watched Avengers, but I know who he is. I'm Thanos.
Okay.
And I want everyone to die.
Yeah.
I want...
That's the end of human existence.
I want Black Thought and Royce the 5'9" at their level right now, where they are at. Not to say they were never at that level, but mm-hmm. right now they are floating. They are actually levitating into space, coming back down and going back up again for air in space, by the way. They're going for air in space. That's how good they are, right? They are godlike MCs. I want them to do something with Apollo Brown because I think, one, it will challenge, not that he needs a challenge, but I think for one, it will challenge Apollo Brown in terms of he's got to think about Black Thought and his cadence and how he rhymes and Royce the 5'9". Because if we're talking about it from an analytical perspective, not just like, yo, MC, two different voices. So you got to think about how they cut through the tracks. Mm-hmm. Right. So from an engineering point of view, they sound very
mid-range,
different.
The mid-range.
Right. The mid-range and that mid-range and that mastering and that mixing and mastering and that. But you've got to think about, they both sound different in terms of their voice. They both rap at in not different speeds, but they both rap differently, right? So you've got to think about that. So when you're crafting beats for those two, you can't just make anything. You've got to think about who they are, what they represent, because they're both going to come with some conscious stuff, but Royce is going to come with some ignorant, like, and he's going to hit with some wordplay, but Black Thought is like, he's going to come with that tight flow. Just, it's like you've got to create something for him that fits that bar structure that he puts together. That's a challenge. Yeah. I like that.
That's
challenge.
That's a good one. I would go for, I know a lot of people say Elzai.
Yeah.
But Elzai's done albums with like Black Milk.
Yeah.
You know, predominantly Black Milk, and he's done Crisis. I'd love to hear Big Crit and Apollo Brown together. Oof. Just because of Crit's southern twang.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I haven't heard it would be like Detroit meets the Dungeon Family.
Do you know what? I like that. I mean, do you know what?
And I would love to hear
now that you said that and said Dungeon Family. Do you know who I really, really like that people may not care? But I want to hear some 2 Chainz and Apollo Brown, you know?
Well, 2 Chainz is doing an album with Static Selector.
That's so still happening.
He's not far removed. Like, 2 Chainz did a song with Ninth Wonder called Threat to Society.
Yeah.
I bought the whole album.
Yeah.
For the one song, bro.
Listen, let me tell you something. I like 2 Chainz, man.
Yeah, 2 Chainz is alright.
I like 2 Chainz. But if we're going left field, and thinking about challenges, because I always like to see how we can elevate, bro. I wouldn't mind seeing. Not that he may not do it, or people may see this as left field, but Young Thug and Apollo Brown make
that
it
would
happen.
Be interesting. I don't know how that would work.
But that is the challenge, right? Now his melodies. How he raps and all of that, because it can't be a straight hip hop band. But Apollo Brown has it; he has the chamber. He can do R&B. He can do slow stuff, and he could do the drums. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I've got one concept album. If he's listening,
go on.
I'd love to hear like more posse cuts.
Ooh,
from Apollo. You know, like shout out to Big Ghost. I know you talk to him.
Yeah, Big Ghost. Shout out to Big Ghost. 100%.
Carpe Noctem.
Yeah,
it's an album of posse cuts, and what I've noticed, what Big Ghost does. Is that at the end of all the albums he produces, it always ends with a posse cut. Every single one. I would love to hear more Apollo Brown posse cuts.
Fair point. Listen, shout out to Big Ghost, man. Big support,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Honestly, so much love for that guy, because he has...
I think, you know, when my life is all said and done, he will be in the conversation too.
But for me, I think he's legendary, man. I told him straight up. I said, you're a legend, bro. And he's just like, nah, there's... Like, and he's a very humble guy, but he's been super supportive of us. And I would love to do, he knows this anyway, but I'd love to do a series on one of his projects.
I mean, he'd have to show his face first. Then
nah,
we could talk about it.
He ain't doing that.
But. Crime Apple over Apollo Brown would be great too.
Crime Apple would be.
Bring some of that Spanish flavor to it.
Yeah. That's a good shout.
Yeah, man. But this Apollo Brown and Stally, like Stally on Mellow Music Group, it took me by surprise. Whoever decided to put Apollo Brown and Stally together, you are a genius.
Yeah.
They sound so good together, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Stally, he's been dope for a long time, ever since I've...
And he's been on both MMGs.
Yes.
He's the first one.
That's a great fact. That's an actual factual fact.
Yeah, bro.
That's an actual factual
Stally
fact.
And Apollo. Are you mad, bro? I'm going to be real. The last Stally album I bought was Ohio, and I enjoyed it. But something inside me said he wasn't necessarily a good fit for MMG just because of his style and his subject matter.
Yeah.
But this MMG here,
this is different. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Yeah. I know. I think the move to get him to Maybach Music Group, I think it was an interesting one. I can see why they signed him, because of how good he was, how he could rap, and I think they were just trying to form. They were just trying to form a label, right? With Meek, Wale,
Pill at the time,
Stally. I could see what they were doing because you know you got Blog Era, Pill, Stally, Blog Era,
and I noticed that what Ross was doing, he was signing artists who were established in some way or fresh, had some kind of who came with an audience. I would say. So Wale came with an audience and made his audience bigger. I think Stally did the same thing, but he just didn't, it wasn't a snug fit. You know, Meek Mill was perfect for the label and still is.
It's like football. Sometimes you sign a player and it's just not the right fit. He goes to
another
club.
No different to wrestling. It's like, you know, you got Aldo Montoya in the WWE, you know, wearing a yellow mask, and then he goes to ECW, shaves his head, and becomes just incredible. Perfect fit.
There you go. That's how it is. But no, man, shout out to
Apollo. I want to hear Little Brother over an Apollo Brown beat as well.
So should you want me to message? You want to make that call?
Fonte would go nuts.
You know, let me tell you something, innit? I shouldn't do this, innit? But I'm going to do it, innit?
What's that?
Tell Fonte to stop ducking us, bro.
No. Don't say that.
Nah, bro.
Don't say that.
Tell him to stop ducking us, bro.
Nah, don't do that. Fonte will come. And I'm telling you, I'm putting this out in the atmosphere, innit? Fonte, if you come on Breaking Atoms, it will be the GOAT interview.
Nah, he's ducking us, innit? Why is he ducking us, bro?
You know why, innit? Because he knows who I am.
Yeah,
I'm not ready for this guy yet.
They know who you are. It's like when Crisis went, yeah, and he was bugged out when he knew who you were. He felt, oh, it's bro. You.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah. You know that's on my phone, innit?
Yeah, absolutely. It's your text message, innit? It's your text message.
Bruv, Crisis knows who I am.
Yeah, man. Man.
People can't talk to me, man. Keep your likes and your little follows, and that Crisis knows who I am. Shut up.
Should I keep goading Fonte though?
No, don't do that. This is about Apollo Brown. We're giving Apollo Brown his flowers, his tulips, his orchids.
So this is the podcast equivalent of the Apollo Brown appreciation thread on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
That's what it is, bro. Apollo Brown is a legend.
Yeah,
a living legend.
He is.
And I am not going to wait for that man to die to tell him.
Yeah, I love that man. Shout out to Apollo Brown. No, honestly, this has been fun though, man.
Bruv, I'm gonna share my Apollo Brown playlist with you. Sequenced to perfection.
Is that right? I'm gonna share you
what?
I'm gonna share with you a dancehall playlist I've had to be commissioned to do. That is perfection.
Yeah, send that to me. I can play that by the pool in Jamaica, innit?
But as always, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Break the Atoms. Chris's handle is at I Am Kinetic. Mine's is at Hip Hop Chronicle. We appreciate you for always listening. This is a slight detour from our regular scheduled program, but fun nonetheless. Apollo Brown is a legend. We appreciate you. We love you. You're welcome back on the show anytime. You will hear this, so we love you, bro. And thank you for giving us your time last year, man. So we'll be back with another episode next week. But until then, peace.
Peace.